Lord Vader? Do you want to kill some rebels? Come on, let's go and play. We never get to any more. Let's win this war before they get away. We used to blast whole planets, but now we don't. I wish you would tell me why. Do you want to kill some rebels? I really, really hate those rebels.
Go away.
I hope they die.
Initialize sequence. Jarvis, drop my needle.
The Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi.
That's a fake laugh.
It's real!
I feel a bit like Emperor Palpatine tonight.
Why is that?
Because I'm in this tall ass chair. So, just picture this, campers. Me in a chair with my crotch at Mitch's level. Think about it. Think about it.
Prison rape.
Prison rape. I think it'd be willing. So I'm in a bar stool because my office chair was confiscated, so I'm way higher than normal, and I kind of dig it. Kind of think I should be above everybody all the time.
You like being King of the Hill?
I do. I love it.
I'm significantly more amused that Mitch has a big black rod about 3 inches away from his nose.
It's true. So our guest speaks before we introduce him. Couldn't pass up that opportunity.
Was I supposed to wait?
Probably would have helped. I mean, no, I know who you are, but no one else knows who you are. But considering you're the number one fan of the show, probably, you're going to get a kick out of hearing yourself. Once again, welcome back to the Jamboree, boys and girls. My name is the greatest man who ever lived, Jack Lambert, and on the other side is...
Butter Nugget.
Oh, God damn it. I don't have your song cue. Just talk.
Just bad on you. Not being prepared.
See, and I got to like reach down away from everything.
You pulled up a song for later in the show, and yet you forget to pull up my song.
You are the star. Hold on there. Let me...
I'm sorry that our friend too busy to move to make a soundtrack.
You can go back and cut that out, right?
No.
Make it look like you're the star.
We like to do this scars and all. I mean, you've listened to the show. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Butter Nugget.
Woo!
With us again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now we're just going to listen to it.
Wonderful. When did you get yours?
Never. I'm never going to get mine. Ever. Ever.
To make matters better, Butter Nugget's got a whole tackle box full of audio adapters over here and forgot the only one that he needs to plug in an extra microphone. So we're about 3 inches apart sharing a mic together.
Sharing a big black staff. It's like circus seals over there.
It has gangrene, too.
Oh. And on that note... Let's go ahead and introduce him. You've heard him already, but this is our friend and quite possibly, honestly, truthfully, the number one fan of this show, Mr. Matt DeLong. Yay!
Yay.
So welcome. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I work in the special effects industry, which is how I got mixed up with you guys. And I live in the Arctic tundra of the Northeast. And it was about the time to... get the hell out of the snowy area and come to a place that was warmer.
If Ryan was with us, it's snowing in Virginia, so he could tell us about that too. But yeah, go ahead, make your joke. That was your setup.
It's kind of hard to miss Ryan when it snows in Virginia. So where is Ryan anyway?
I don't know. I'm assuming he's working his ultra sweet gig at the movie theater. So
we are recording on a different day than usual.
Yeah. That's a horrible thing to have to sit and watch movies.
Yeah, well, if you listen to the last episode when I was ribbing him with the Family Guy Stewie novel thing, I actually sent him a link today where HBO is looking for diverse writers. Diverse, heavily in quotes, meaning of different persuasion than Caucasian. So hopefully he applies for that. So I know you never go back and listen to our show, so I'll have to tell him this in person, Brian.
Well, he's busy with his own podcast, isn't he?
Probably.
So the
Panelverse.
The three listeners that you've stolen
the
over?
The three listeners. One episode, three listeners. Everybody should go check out that one episode of Panelverse. It's totally worth your time. All right, what are we talking about, Mitch?
We got some Star Wars news coming out. We've got Age of Ultron news.
There's fuck all in Star Wars news going on. What did I miss?
The
finale of Rebels. Yay, they're going to bring Vader back. Moving on.
Okay, there you go. Fine. Age of Ultron's been leaking out some stuff. Mm-hmm. And not really leaking. They're putting it out there on purpose. Mm-hmm. And we're going to wrap up the Oscars since a lot of our predictions were snubbed. And you finally got to see American Sniper. So I think we're going to get a little review from you from that one.
Yep.
And then you and Matt, because I don't watch it, are going to do a Walking Dead session.
Yeah, and I want to get into why you don't watch The Walking Dead.
No, yeah, we'll save that, though. But before we move on to those, let's talk about this. '90s heavy metal guitar. Enough of that shit. It's a pretty rocking theme, though. Totally 90s metal. So in case you've been living under a rock the past 2 days, the Power Rangers are heavily in the news because of this fan film that's gone out, and the controversy / cool geek factor of it is that it's very R-rated, violence, language, all the stuff that we like around here. So a lot of people have watched it. That I showed it to my wife last night, and it had 9 million views in less than the 24 hours it's been out. Butternugget, you saw some of it, because I showed it at work the other day, and then you got annoyed and walked away,
well, and
like always.
As of about an hour ago, the video's been pulled from YouTube now.
Oh, it's been pulled from YouTube now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the big deal. Saban, or however you say it, is the copyright holders and owners of the Power Rangers, and they are none too happy that this video has come out. Apparently there is another live-action Power Rangers movie in the works that Lionsgate is going to put out. So the original video was posted to Vimeo, and if that's how you say that, and it got pulled from there because Saban sent a cease and desist letter. So if you haven't seen it, I do recommend it, and I'm a little past the Power Rangers curve because it came out when I was already a teenager. So, I mean, Mitch, what did you think?
I never got into Power Rangers.
You look like one when you ride your motorcycle. In that
you
blue
can't laugh
jacket.
At that, Matt. You haven't even seen me on my motorcycle.
I actually have.
Maybe. Okay.
I come visit you a lot.
And then he bought a white and black leather jacket that he never wears because I told him he looks like a stormtrooper. But no, he'd rather look like a pirate.
Why don't you want to look like a stormtrooper?
No, it's my summer jacket. It's a textile, so it's my summer jacket.
At the very least, you could have a stormtrooper arm.
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Or that clone arm from the Legos.
No. All right. Power Rangers.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't get into it. I think it's still stupid when I see him on TV now. And that video that you had, which unfortunately we now can't post, I kind of liked it because just it was a it wasn't the cartoony kid style. It was obviously meant for more adults. And
right, and that's the thing that I do like about it. Like, if it were marketed to me, I'd probably go and see it. Because I know enough about Power Rangers. You know, like I said, it wasn't totally on my radar, but at the time I did have younger nieces, cousins, sorry, that were living with us. So they were into it. And so I actually took one of them to see the movie when it came out a million years ago. So if it were marketed to me, I would totally see it. And I was pretty excited about the fan film, so much so that I wanted to come home and show my wife, who could give two squirts of monkey piss about it.
And something to someone that works at, too, is that it's like, I don't know if I would really want to watch this. You know, it's a kid's thing. And I'm like, well, G.I. Joe's was a kid's thing. And right. when they made that, it was more adult geared. And it wasn't as successful as they probably would like it to be, but it still made money.
Right.
I'd go back and watch it for the Pink Power Ranger.
Yeah. Ironically enough, the Pink Power Ranger, the original one, Amy Jo Johnson, has come out in support of the fan film, as has the Black Power Ranger, who meets a not-so-nice end in the fan film. So it's kind of interesting that he came out in the support of it. But the Green Ranger, I can't think of the name right off the top of my head, but he played Tommy, who the movie circles around because everybody and his brother knows that the White/Green Ranger is the most popular. I think his name is G. He's got three names. Look it up, Mitch.
Joshua.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's the person who wrote the article, isn't it? Look at that. See, I'm picking up Mitch's slack here.
Because y'all are sitting so close.
Well, I'm picking up Mitch's slack for giving inaccurate information in a heartbeat here.
Yeah. So anyway, it's like Jason David Frank.
Jason David Frank.
There you
very
go.
Good.
Woohoo! So he came out, and he is actually making the same argument as Mitch, in that the show is a children's show, and people who respect the show should respect the fact that it's a children's show and be mindful of the fact that if you put the Power Rangers name onto something that's R-rated and violent and everything else, that a kid may gravitate to see it.
Yeah, in his quote, "I'm just a PG-13 guy.
Correct.
The cuss words, the drugs, and all that other stuff doesn't fly with me."
Right.
No, but I mean, look at it this way. They're trying to hit a very specific target audience, and it's the original Power Rangers fan base that has now aged up and is ready for this. I don't think anybody under the age of, 28 has Power Rangers in their life.
No.
You know, you show a kid a Power Ranger now, they're going to go, what the hell is that?
Right. Well, it's still on. I mean, I
is
think
it really?
It's on Disney XD. It's either Disney XD or Nickelodeon. It's still on. It's like Dino Force now or something. So
it's
progressed to
crazy,
something weird.
Stupid thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that Saban should have fought to take it down. And my personal opinion is, if I were in charge of Saban, I would say 9 million people watch this thing in 24 hours. Take the script that we have, scratch it, and let's go this route, because clearly we're going to make money off of this. We're taking a gamble in that we're going to deal with the kids market, but people that are in their late 20s, early 30s that have disposable income and that do want to relive their childhood but see it in a more adult nature are gonna go. The numbers were there. I mean, before they pulled the video, like I said, last night at almost this exact time, it was 9 million people in 24 hours. That's a lot of money at the box office.
I'm sorry, I'm still confirming. I don't want to give out the wrong info.
What are you confirming?
You're right. It's Dino Charge for this year, and I'm trying to check and see who actually owns it right now.
And by not wanting to give out the wrong info, he means he's going to Wikipedia.
Hey.
the internet's most reliable database of information.
Hey, when you have a lot of fans, they do keep it up to date and pretty accurate. It's saying currently ABC Family.
No, it's not ABC Family. They don't even show kids shows.
Yes, they do. They are not really good ones.
Like what? Secret Life of the American Teenager and Pretty Little Liars? Those are all like young adult shows. Like totally in the Twilight market.
Thanks.
It's like the Jeopardy music. It's the Waiting for Mitch music.
I feel like somebody's vamping every time, just waiting for something to come. It's, we need a little scene change music.
Yeah, and another one says it's Disney XD.
And they have so many series of the damn thing that it could be, or it could be in reruns on one and, like, the new episodes come out on another.
Exactly, because they used to be on Nickelodeon at one time.
Yeah, but I remember when Disney owned them fully and they were Power Rangers when, like, the parade at Hollywood Studios and stuff, so...
Oh, Ninja Turtles were at Hollywood Studios back when they first opened. I've got pictures of me in the park with the Ninja Turtles and the Turtle Van, which was the coolest friggin' thing ever.
And now they're at Nickelodeon, so it seems like they flip-flop a lot of things, Disney and Nick. Whatever, they both have the market cornered on children. So, wrapping up Power Rangers, if you got to see it, we'd love to know what you thought about it. If you didn't get to see it, it doesn't look like you're going to be able to. Although, you can probably find it out there somewhere on somebody's Facebook or
someone
something.
Probably downloaded it somehow and they're holding on to
it.
Yeah,
they'll just keep putting it up. But again, if I were Saban, I'd say, scratch this shit that we're doing. We already have market saturation on the kids market due to all these channels and toys and everything else. Let's go a more gritty adult way and see what happens. I mean, it's just as big of a risk as going the other way, so they got nothing to lose. Except for maybe 9 million people watch the damn show in 24 hours. All right, where are we going?
Age of Ultron.
Age of Ultron. I posted the picture of the new Age of Ultron poster on our Facebook, if you saw it. I don't like it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. You're definitely on the spot. It looks, and I'm trying to find someone who may have put the two posters side by side already.
But yeah, it's very much like the first one.
Yeah, it just kind of shuffled everything around, but it's still the same look. But they're all reaching towards the camera.
Right. And write this down, because I'm going to give Mitch credit here for a minute. But a couple episodes ago, he talked about comic book covers and how artistic they are and how that snatches your attention to try to buy the issue. And I think that's what Marvel needs to do with these posters. Like, they know the core fan base is going to go. I'm going to go. Mitch is going to go. Matt may go. I don't know. But you need to snatch people in off the street. And these posters just aren't doing it. And now they've started releasing the singlet posters, too. So there's one of Tony Stark as Iron Man, and there's one of Hulk. But what it looked like to me with the Hulk one, especially, not the Tony Stark one, that one was completely different, but what it looked like the Hulk one to me is like they zoomed in and cropped the Hulk off the main poster and was like, here's a Hulk poster.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but...
So, is the idea that they're looking maybe towards people who are specifically attracted to certain characters to try and pull them in?
I don't think so, because Iron Man's always front and center. It's definitely the Tony Stark show, which we've talked about before, and he is the draw. Like, the first Avengers trailer that came out, I made a joke that they might as well called it Iron Man and Friends, because he was definitely the highlight. And they're still doing that with Robert Downey Jr. being front and center. The only difference is, in the first poster, he was very defiant and heroic looking. And this one, you can tell that he's kind of not at all happy.
So, Jack, you absolutely nailed it. They went in and they took Tony Stark off the poster and they cropped around the Hulk. And the definition on the photo is just much, much better.
There's a little bit of difference. The background's a little bit different, too.
No, but some of the bodies are in the exact same place,
yes,
too.
They just changed the building.
It's absolutely almost the same photo, though. It's just a different rendering version.
Yeah. And we all know Iron Man's going to fuck things up, and that's how Civil War starts, which leads us up to Cap 3 that's coming out, and Spider-Man will be a part of it. Did we talk about that? Did we talk about Marvel getting Spider-Man back from Sony?
No, because that announcement came out before you released the double
the
podcast.
Lost episodes. So, yeah, I'm sure you've heard, because it's old news now, but Sony has given up the rights to Spider-Man. Well, not entirely given the rights up. They're still going to be in charge of producing the Amazing Spider-Man 3. Yeah, they're sharing for sure. I just lost my headphones. They're there. But Spider-Man is... I'm almost 100% certain he'll be part of Civil War. Because he is in the comic storyline, so it makes sense. But Iron Man's going to screw everything up, and everybody's going to get mad at him, and that's going to split the Avengers, and yada, yada, yada. You know the story.
You know, it's really funny. I'm looking at the Avengers poster, and the two mutants are like the tiniest little corner in the picture. I'm like, well, I guess they don't want to push the envelope too much on
these
that.
Characters have already existed in other films, so why would you want to put them front and center?
I thought that was all part of the whole, you know, we're adding the mutants into the mix.
No, because Sony is not going to let go of X-Men. That's definitely a cash cow for them. Mm-hmm. Although Hugh Jackman has come out and said that, you know, surprise, he would love to be part of Wolverine, be part of the MCU. But, you know, the X-Men movies are doing fine on their own. He don't need to join that ship to make even more money.
Not well enough to win Oscars, though.
Yeah, well, can't win them all. So, yeah, posters are out. I'm excited. I do believe that that's my most anticipated movie of this year, even above Force Awakens. So, we'll see. Age of Ultron, looking forward to it.
I don't know if I agree about biggest movie of the year. I think even if Force Awakens is the biggest piece of dog shit to ever hit the screen, and it won't be, but everybody's going to be absolutely critical about it because of how loved the universe is and everybody wants their own special way with it. Even if the reviews come out and say that it blows, everybody's still going to go see it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of apprehension from the fan base right now. Because the prequels were such a letdown, and because Star Wars Rebels is such a letdown, that it's the excitement is there for sure. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. People are gonna go, but hopefully it's good and it doesn't trail off like Phantom Menace did, or even Attack of the Clones, which to me, if Ryan was here, he'd know what I was gonna say is the best of the prequels. A lot of people love Revenge of the Sith, but Attack of the Clones is where it's at, people. So much so that I have a clone tattooed on my leg. So there you go. What are you looking up, Mitch?
I'm looking up gross movie prices and overall.
For what? What does that have to do with anything we're talking about? Are you just fucking doing your own thing over there? You're like, oh, well.
No, I'm trying to prep for next coming segments.
You should see what he has open on the other windows over here.
Yeah.
You know, if we actually were, you know, a good podcast, we'd have shared screens here.
Hey, we are a good podcast, even though I'm not talking into my mic right now.
He's 30 feet over on the other side of the room now, running to get something. And so, Mitch, what are you looking up so that everybody has an idea? Because I'm the only one who could see your screen over here.
Apparently, American Sniper is still number one.
No, 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 Mitch. That's the wrong window. Mitch. Mitch.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Mitch, what are you watching over there?
I think
the
what
big
I just,
black rod got him excited.
I think what I just saw was illegal in at least three different states.
Hey, pull that back up. Let me see. What is that? All right, that's enough. I don't want to see anymore. And we've lost Mitch. So this goes way back to the beginning of this podcast, and it's a bit that we're going to do. But I'm going to spoil it right now because it wouldn't take long, clearly. We're just going to play porn in the background and see how long it takes Mitch to crack and just like not acknowledge it at all. Something like this. Okay, Mitch, talk.
Hold on. So there. Now I can't hear it.
Oh, that's not fair.
So realistically, what is that noise out of womp womp?
Do you really want me to tell you?
Well, I've never heard that noise before in my life, and
that's I'll tell you after. I say a lot of fucked up shit on this show, but not gonna divulge.
Yeah, there have been a couple of times. I've been in my car because I spend a lot of time traveling for work and I'm on airplanes, and I've shouted at you from 3,000 or 6,000 miles away about some of the things you've said on the air.
I remember a text message about the Porch Monkey comment that you sent me. So.
And there you go
there
again.
There it is again. Because, you know, you're sitting next to this black dude and your headphones are just blaring, and then someone hears me say Porch Monkey and you're going to get killed. Moon Cricket is a good one. Ryan turned me on to Moon Cricket, so I'm allowed to say it.
Yeah, off air.
No, come on. I offend everybody. I'm an equal opportunity offender.
You could even win an award for being an offender, maybe.
It's true.
So,
as long as I'm not the type of offender that needs to go to my neighbor's house and tell him that I moved in, we're good to go.
They have an app for that now.
Really? Just email your neighbors. Hi, I just moved into the neighborhood.
No, if people move into your area, they'll actually give you a pop-up notification.
Ah, very
and,
good.
You know, freak people out where, you know, they're ignorant.
Have we
things.
Stalled enough for you, Mitch? Do you need more time to look up whatever you're looking
for? You just keep going.
So, let's talk about the Oscars then, because at the last episode or the episode before, you went into who all the nominees were. So, where do we start? Do we want to do actors or movies?
To be fair, I haven't seen anything with the exception of American Sniper, which we'll get into in a minute. So I can comment, but like everything, it'll just be bullshit because I don't know what I'm talking about.
I've got to tell you, on my trip down this week, I saw almost all of Big Hero 6, except I woke up way too early in the morning.
I did see Big Hero 6.
And
that's right.
I was really, really impressed with Big Hero 6. It was a little bit predictable.
It was very predictable.
But it had me laughing in probably the first couple of minutes.
Yeah, that was my biggest complaint with it, was that it's predictable. But now that I've had some time to think about it, it also felt like a big commercial for other movies. Like, they're totally going to go with the whole superhero Big Hero 6 team. And then at that point, it just clicked in my head that, not unlike the Lego movie, this is just a big commercial to sell fucking merchandise and set up a new franchise.
There were a few things I took away from it that I really loved. There were some running gags, the whole shelf scene in the beginning of the movie. So when you first see him come out, he comes out of his box.
Mm-hmm.
And the shelf falls down, and the kid keeps getting whacked in the head with all the items on the shelf. They dragged it out. It wasn't quite a Family Guy length bit, but it worked really well. And they, you know, did a couple of callbacks to it. But I think my favorite thing, at least in the portion of the movie, and I didn't get to the end, I passed out on the plane, was when his batteries start dying.
Yes.
Before he gets his suit, and it's the whole coming home with your drunk friend moment.
Yeah, that was really good.
And again, predictable, but it absolutely is one of those things that I think is going to circulate the internet for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't think that Big Hero 6 should have won animated feature. I didn't see any of the other movies. So again, I'm just talking out of my ass, but I don't feel like it was anything outside of the norm of typical Disney fare. Plus, it seemed to me like it was just a big setup for another franchise. So, if the Academy's looking for artsy type stuff, which is what they normally go for and everything, I don't think that that was the best choice.
Well, but if you look at where Disney's going with it now, it's doing very, very well in the parks. It was doing well in the parks before the award came out. The meet and greet was supposed to be a short-term engagement.
And they've extended
it. It's been extended indefinitely. Mm-hmm. They're dumping gobs and gobs of money into the technology behind it because there's some really special things about it. But I think they're seeing merchandise dollars now.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
I'm thrilled to see something that doesn't have Anna and Elsa plastered all over it.
Agreed.
So,
and it is a Marvel franchise that Disney has taken on their own, so that's always a good thing, too.
So if you know they could take another franchise on that focuses sort of in their realm but off in another direction, I think that you know it's a fantastic way to go.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. Mitch?
I haven't seen it, so I can't really say much for it. I can say what other people say about it.
I'm sure it got good reviews.
No, it's not. I'm not looking at reviews. I'm looking up. Someone posted six reasons why Big Hero 6 is better than Frozen.
Well,
it sounds like clickbait to me.
Yeah,
but then again, we all get sucked into that.
Yeah,
you know,
go ahead. Tell us your six reasons.
They're not my six reasons, but.
Cite the author and the website.
I'm looking for the author and the website.
The website is whatculture.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no clue who wrote it. It's probably...
And the author's probably on the last page.
Like you.
Or a community post.
Steve Picotti. Yeah, there. See, I am terrible with that.
You're a bad Italian, Mitch. You don't know how to say Picotti.
Which is funny. My last name's Italian.
Italian, Hawaiian, black.
I know. He listed his first number 6. I guess they're progressing up. There's no princess this show. I don't know how that's a better... Sometimes people want a princess.
Well, was it your thing a couple weeks ago that you wanted to be a princess, or you're going princess dancing, or what was it that he came up with, Jack?
Pretty Pony. I don't know.
I
don't remember. I just listened back to the shows the other night, too.
You know, none of these are going to make sense if you've not seen the movie, because I have no idea who this person is. I don't have no idea what...
Well, just read them.
Number 5 was Tadashi. Something like about a dead relative.
You got to be more specific here, Mitch. You're generalizing just a little too far.
This is why I don't do... If I don't see this shit, how am I supposed to know what to talk about?
Because you just read what someone else has already wrote for you. Yeah, you're plagiarizing.
There's way too much text for the take. Dead relatives are basically a must-have in a Disney movie.
Correct.
So... I guess.
But that doesn't make sense why that would be better than Frozen, because Frozen has dead parents.
And has anybody seen I'm going to completely derail this conversation now. Yeah. Did you see the video that came out where somebody's theorized about the whole connection between the Tangled universe and the Frozen universe?
And Little Mermaid, too.
And Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
It's a nice video that somebody put together. Mm-hmm. Mitch, have you seen it?
Huh?
Oh.
Yeah, way to pay attention.
Yeah.
So for the listeners who haven't seen it, the princess from Tangled appears in...
Rapunzel.
Rapunzel, thank you. Rapunzel appears in Frozen, which sort of looks like an Easter egg to most common folks if you catch it.
Right.
And the timeline is Frozen occurs approximately 2 years after Tangled. If you look at the timeline, Rapunzel's wedding was 2 years before Frozen takes place, and Anna and Elsa's parents were going from Norway to Germany for Rapunzel's wedding, and that's when the ship sank, and obviously there's your Little Mermaid connection.
Yep. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good fan theory. It'll show up on Once Upon a Time here soon.
So in Big Hero 6, did you catch the Stan Lee cameo?
Yeah, it's blatant as shit. He's like the dad of the Jay character. The guy acts like Jay from Jay and Silent Bob, so I just call him the Jay character. He's Captain Underpants or something.
And I think it's stated at the end of the movie. It's like in guest starring Stan Lee. Yeah. It's in giant letters in the credits.
It's not so much a cameo as it is, we're going to ram this old guy down your throat, giggity.
He does act like a perv on... when he does his cameos sometimes.
Next. Reason for why.
I'll put it this way. This is a bad...
Yeah, blame you, Matt. You started this shit. You started this whole Big Hero 6. Number 4, Mitch.
This is a bad article. It's not worth it anymore.
Okay, so...
moving on.
Well, you asked me this shit before I have a chance to read through it.
Okay.
Okay, so American Sniper did not get Best Picture.
No, and it should have.
It went to Birdman.
Yes. Here, and this, again, me totally plagiarizing somebody. I think it was on, take this for what it's worth, Fox News last night. But they were talking about how Birdman, it is a good movie, but it's made like, the benchmark in the past for Best Picture has been like 100 mil. And Birdman has not made 100 mil. Yet here you have an immensely popular film in American Sniper that's made 600 mil. And the Academy just totally snubs it for... political reasons, because everything's politically motivated in Hollywood. So, no one's going to touch that? Come on, I just threw the hook and reel it in. No.
Mitch still isn't paying attention. No. He's going through...
Mitch is from California.
He's trying to crunch numbers over here. Tree-hugging
liberal in the world.
So, Mitch, what part of California are you from anyway?
Southern.
Southern California. It's the more tolerable portion for me, at least.
The more tolerable portion?
The laid-back L.A. atmosphere.
No, it's southern. It's even further southern than L.A. L.A. is a totally different southern.
No, that's what I'm saying. I can do Southern California. L.A. is a completely different world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, aside from the political crap, American Sniper was really, really good. I would venture to say it's the best war movie since Saving Private Ryan. So if you like war movies, definitely go. There is some hard to watch stuff in it, but war is hard to watch. I mean, we're desensitized to it because it's on cable news 24 hours a day. But, you know, when you see it in a film and it's just laid out there for everybody to see through a director's lens, there is some stuff that's hard to watch, but it was fantastic. And Bradley Cooper's in it, so that's not a good thing either.
So explain it. What is American Sniper?
It's about an American sniper.
So a sniper, Mitch, is a man with a rifle with a very long scope on it.
An American is somebody who lives in the United States of America, signs up and goes to war with the Navy SEALs. What more do you want to know? It's in the fucking title. What's Snakes on a Plane about, Mitch?
What the hell is that? All right, great. It's about a sniper. What happens to him?
He dies. I mean, and that's he not even people. A spoiler alert because it's in the news. Like, his killer was just found guilty here yesterday. So, yeah, it's in the title, Mitch. What more do you want to know? He goes and fights in Iraq and you play Call of Duty. You know what a sniper is.
And again, the movie, you know, they took it as a snub. Bradley Cooper did not get best actor in a leading role.
But a point on that, though, is Michael Keaton didn't get best actor for Birdman either, and it won best picture. So there were not a whole lot of sweeps going on this year. The guy who played Stephen Hawking won best actor, which just further proves if you're in Hollywood and you play somebody with a disability, Oscar.
Yeah, and with all these movie snubs going on, I seriously think that Guardians got snubbed with makeup compared to the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I have not seen Grand Budapest Hotel, but I can guarantee you there's not a fucking talking raccoon in it, and there's not a blue person in it, and there's not a green person in it. So how did that
win? It's not a cyborg in it. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know, but when you played that porn clip before, Mitch turned all those colors.
He did. Totally did. So I don't know. I don't.
With the clips that they showed at during the awards, the ceremony and stuff, it was an old lady makeup and some prison makeup with a nose job.
Some prison makeup.
It was nothing compared to
Orange is the New Black makeup job or.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of want to see it now because I did not realize it dealt with the Holocaust, and I'm kind of interested in World War II history and everything, so I'm interested now. But it's a comedy about the Holocaust, is it not? I mean, isn't Grand Budapest Hotel a comedy? Like, how are we supposed to laugh at that?
I don't know. It's one of those movies where I was going to go see it, and for some reason, I just didn't.
This is the movie a bunch of years ago won an Oscar that was kind of a comedy about the Holocaust. It was an Italian movie. It was actually subtitled. Back in the late 90s, early millennium. Life is Beautiful, I think, is what it was. Look that up real quick. Life is Beautiful. It's a great movie. And it was kind of funny and about the Holocaust at the same time.
So. Did you hear the whole uproar about DiGiorno during the Oscars?
DiGiorno? Like the mustard?
No, DiGiorno pizza.
Oh, okay. Oh, like the pizza. No, I did not.
So DiGiorno got slammed last year for one of their tweets that they sent out, and I don't have a copy of the tweet. But DiGiorno was live tweeting during the Oscars, and during Lady Gaga's Sound of Music performance, they tweeted, quote, "The ovens are alive with the sound of pizza again." So
you want me to offend everybody I haven't offended yet? Nothing says loving like a Jew in the oven.
Of course, they tried to go back and delete it, but everyone had already screen captured it.
They had to screw up, though, after redeeming themselves at the Grammys, because apparently Iggy Azalea or somebody ordered a pizza, and like the pizza guy figured out it was her and gave her number out to a bunch of people. So DiGiorno capitalized on that and said, you know, hey, Iggy, we'll never give your number out or something because you make it at home. So,
but that's not the first time that people's home phone numbers have been given out on television either.
Yeah, it's true. And who is she anyway? White Nicki Minaj. That's the answer.
So it was last September was their other incident. And the quote here is, DiGiorno is really, really, really sorry about its tweet making light of domestic violence. And their tweet says, a million apologies, did not read what the hashtag was before we posted it.
Why do you keep setting me up for these?
And
domestic violence isn't a problem, it's a solution.
So their original tweet was, hashtag, why is stayed? You had pizza.
Wow. Yeah, they need to fire their person, unless they're like shock jocks like I try to be.
They should
go get a job tweeting for DiGiorno.
They could almost do better getting Gilbert Gottfried to start running their Twitter feed.
It's true. Where the fuck were we? What were we talking about?
So that tweet occurred during the Oscars, which I was trying to vamp to allow Mitch more time to pull up information on one of the things that he's researching here. But he's got about 15 tabs open, and I don't think any of them are relevant to what the hell we're talking about anymore.
Hit the button and bring up that important tab.
What was it you want with Life is Beautiful?
If that's what it was called.
There is a movie, Jewish Man, so I'm guessing that's it. It was in 1997. So.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Fantastic movie, really. It is, I think on the DVD, and I'm sure now on the Blu-ray, that you can watch it in English, but I watched it subtitled way back in the dark ages of 1997, and it's really good. So, I guess that was our point, that I will see Grand Budapest Hotel. And I'm still kind of interested in Birdman, because like I said a couple episodes ago when we were talking about this, it's kind of autobiographical in that Michael Keaton played Batman, and now he's in the twilight of his career, maybe. Now that this movie's won an Oscar, I'm sure he'll get all kinds of work again. But, you know, he's reliving his glory days of playing Birdman, so.
Did Walking Dead ever win any awards?
Did Walking Dead ever win any awards? What's that got to do with the Oscars?
It's because it's an award ceremony.
And why don't you ask the Google, because we haven't finished up with the Oscars yet.
I'm just trying to move this along.
So visual effects. Visual effects was really, I think, the toughest competition for the year.
I think so, too.
You had Winter Soldier, Planet of the Apes, Guardians, Interstellar, and X-Men all going head-to-head.
And Interstellar won, and I haven't seen it, but what I did see in clips and trailers and stuff, it's fucking Matthew McConaughey in a spaceship. I mean, it's not creating whole planets or whole races of mutants or, you know, completely making black guys blue like they did in Spider-Man with Electro, so. Or like Mitch does on a Saturday night.
Okay, Mitch,
you're done.
I'm done.
You're done.
Done with what? Cracking on you? No, so, that never
Mitch,
ends.
Mitch, what's next on the syllabus here for the evening?
Gonna make a black guy blue.
We are up to Walking Dead.
So Walking Dead came back. We are three episodes in. Jack, you're semi up to date.
I'm pieces parts. I'm like a chicken nugget, just pieces parts. I have no idea what's going on.
So I'll go there because we've already gone down this road. We killed another black guy off.
Yep.
Every time that you bring a new guy in, it seems like we just trade another one out.
Yep.
And
there can only be one. That's the rule.
We're going about one per season, although Bob sort of outlived Tyrese,
Tyrese has been around for longer than Bob. He showed up.
Yeah, you're right. I'm
season
sorry.
Three at the jail, and Rick was like, "Get the steppin', dude." And then you know he came back, but they were very early in that season, and then it went all the way almost through mid season before they came back again.
So. I think Tyrese's demise was a little bit past due. The writing's been on the wall. I think when Tyrese was trying to guard the baby.
Yeah.
And wound up leaving Garrett alone and not killing him. The writing came on the wall. He didn't have it in him anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of just a ticking time bomb for when are we going to get rid of Tyrese?
Yeah, I can see that. I kind of wish he was around. Back in last season, one of the most intriguing storylines to me was, you know, when he found out that his sister, was killed. And then the whole Carol thing, or was it his wife?
It was his wife.
Okay, his wife.
His sister's the one that's still alive.
Right. And then the whole Carol storyline, but they just put that to bed real quick. And that scene was as tense as I hoped it would be with the Carol Tyrese confrontation.
Just look at the flowers, Mitchell.
Look at the flowers.
The best thing is he doesn't get it.
He has no idea.
So, you know, The Walking Dead sort of has a sine wave shaped arc for where we are. We get introduced. We have sort of a settlement. We go on the run. We get into another settlement. So we have this waxing and waning of get a settlement, blow it up, start again. And, it you know, it's an easy storyline to get the tension of trying to find a safe place to go hide. And this week's episode left off with trying to go scout out another camp and see if it's safe.
Yeah, I brought it up earlier, and then we never really discussed it, so now is a good time. If you think about it, I read an article a little while ago that just pretty much showed that Rick's group has not made it any more than, like, 20 minutes outside of Atlanta at any given time. And I don't know what the show continuity is, but it's been on for 5 years now. You would think in 5 years... that big of a group of people would have made it a little bit farther than just 20 minutes outside of where they started.
Well, you look at the road structure, which is remarkably clean. You don't see, like, weeds growing out of the road or anything. I realize abandoned Atlanta roads are hard, but with the visual effects crew that they have and the work that they're doing, you think that they might want to make those weeds a little bit taller.
I saw a meme, and it was the one of Picard with his hand out like he's annoyed, and it said, "Who the fuck is mowing the grass?" And then underneath it was Forrest Gump, and he's like driving by.
I didn't see the Forrest Gump part. I did see the Picard meme. Yeah.
What are you playing? What do I hear?
He's got an ad running in the background with a little girl and a Dalmatian.
Gotcha.
So
don't get that tab confused with that other one you've been playing all night long.
I'm excited to see where The Walking Dead is going. Tyrese's demise was interesting because we had callbacks to characters from all different seasons.
Yep.
So we got to bring back the governor. We got to bring back Emily Kinney again. Mm-hmm.
And thank God she didn't sing.
Well, you know, it's really funny. One of my friends sent me a text message that she was performing at one of the casinos near where I live. And I said, "Dear God, please tell me she's not there to sing." And he went, "You're an asshole." But there's a lot of memes about Emily Kinney's singing in the show. And it was a weird tangent. But, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the mid-season with the prison. I felt like that season dragged.
I was on the fence with that. Like, I get sick of, like you said, it's definitely an arc and an ebb and a flow now. And I hate that they keep bringing in these governor-style villains, and that's what I feel like the police chief was before she died. She's, like, totally running the show. She's keeping people captive. She's making them do it. It's like, okay, we've seen this before. Come up with a new baddie for me to root against instead of just being the same old, same old.
I was okay with her being a baddie. I think the interesting thing was getting back into downtown Atlanta and seeing a different landscape that's not
overrun
out in the woods where you get herds of walkers just randomly coming at you. The city is a different place. You saw a lot more of it deteriorating, and that's where I think the visual effects team really did succeed, where they don't do so well in the country.
Right. I actually want to go to Atlanta and take a couple of those tours of the
Walking Dead side tours. Yeah,
we've talked about it for vacation. So Mitch, this brings us to the point of the show where we're going to ask why you don't watch Walking Dead.
It's not my type of show.
Why?
I really don't care for zombie shows, horror shows, survivor shows.
Horror shows? You just were playing this horror show.
Do you have trouble sleeping at night after you watch this kind of stuff?
Not always.
Which is embedded in there is yes.
So
there'll be, like, if I see certain movies before going to bed, it's usually a challenge to actually fall asleep. But I've gotten better over time.
Are you worried, like, Jack's going to, like, grab your ankle from underneath the bed? Or?
Well, thank God I don't sleep at his house. No.
Not all the time.
So, no, it's just not my type of genre. I'd rather watch, like, Once Upon a Time or
Fairy Stories.
It was Fairy Time. I think fairy that's time. What it was. It was I said time. Princess Time earlier.
That's what it was, Fairy Time.
Well, the only reason I find it odd, Mitch, is because a lot of the same audience for the Marvel crowd and some of the Star Wars crowd overlaps with the X-Files, back in the 90s.
I love horror movies. I've threatened more than once on this show to do a whole horror movie episode. We've never done it. Last night, before I went to bed, I watched two documentaries about zombies. Like, about the zombie genre, not, like, legit voodoo-type zombies. So,
and Netflix is fantastic for B-rate and C-rate horror movies. Yep. They're definitely
where I watched the documentaries last night.
They're definitely a step above Sharknado, which Sharknado 3 is filming in Orlando right now. But there's some really decent B-rate ones and some really bad B and C-rate horror movies on Netflix, and it's sort of a roll of the dice. And I found myself on a couple occasions screaming at the TV because the plotline was really good and the visual effects in the finale scene just completely ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the name of most of
one
them.
One of the movies that they showed in the documentary last night I've never seen, but I hope it's on Netflix because what they showed was really fucking intense for a zombie movie, but it was your typical guy with a baby in a zombie apocalypse. The movie's called Cargo. It was a guy with a baby in the zombie apocalypse, and he gets out of the car, and of course his wife's turned and everything, and then he sees that he's bit. Well, eventually, at the end of the documentary, they showed the payoff where the guy is now a zombie, and of course he's still got this human baby strapped to him, but he like can't reach it because he can't bite it. So the baby's just chilling there, and with it being called Cargo, I'm like, totally foreshadowing the baby. So I kind of want to see that.
I would love to see Joss Whedon come back and do another horror movie.
I want to see Joss Whedon do Marvel Zombies, which is a whole comic book line. So, I mean, it's there.
And there's a rumor that they might want to bring Joss Whedon on for the new Spider-Man. So that'd be an interesting shift to take.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's already done the horror with Angel and Buffy. So.
And Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods. I didn't care for Cabin in the Woods too much, but...
I think my favorite part was when the unicorn comes out of out of its cube and runs somebody through.
Yeah, they didn't play that part up in the haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights a couple years ago, but I digress. But yeah, Angel was great. Way better than Buffy, I think, because Buffy was always kind of frou-frou and... He had a chance to explore more testosterone with Angel, so I'd love for him to do something horror-related for sure. Dead air.
Mitch, what else do you have on the docket here besides the fact that you don't watch suspenseful television? Is that the...
Jack's Entertainment.
That's you. He asked what was on your computer. My computer has... Power Rangers.
Mitch, did I hear German in there? Or Dutch?
So what else do you have, Mitch?
That's it from what you discussed earlier. I don't have anything else on the list of discussion.
So I guess one of my questions is, I serial consume, which is why Netflix is fantastic for me. I start going through a series. I'm the one who tried to get you to do Breaking Bad, although... you had intestinal issues while we were trying to watch Breaking
Bad. And anybody who knows me personally should know that this isn't a fucking surprise. Like, when I found out Matt was coming, I was like, what do you want for dinner? And he said, not what we had last time because it fucked your stomach up. I was like, everything fucks my stomach up. If that's a criteria, we would be gnawing on bushes outside of my house.
Gnawing on bushes isn't necessarily a bad thing. But no, you know, I try and start a series and run through... and stuff that's on TV annoys me a little bit.
Did you take my advice and watch the From Dusk Till Dawn series? It's on Netflix.
No, I haven't, and I actually need to go back.
I think you even posted something on Facebook like, hey, I'm done with so-and-so. What's something I can start? I put that.
I had just finished Dexter at that point, I think, which I got to tell you, Dexter's pilot was probably one of the hardest ones that I've ever gone through. It is long, and it's sort of dry, and... there's one season that's almost completely not worth watching. But the last two or three seasons, I don't remember where it picked back up again. They really ramped it into high gear and made it completely worth watching. I'm sorry that you didn't like Breaking Bad. I think you should give it another chance and at least get through the first and second
episode.
After
we watched it and after the podcast came out where I talked about it, I've been told that like the first three episodes are super hard to get through. And then after that, it starts hitting its stride. But I'm old, man. I don't have that kind of time to commit. I got to be hooked right off the bat, or I'm kind of like...
Well, and it truly is. It's an hour commitment, so that makes it a little tough. So, Mitch, have you seen Dexter?
No.
Is that one of those things that would just stress you out?
I don't even know what it's about.
Serial killer.
Dexter is a serial killer who is a vigilante serial killer, basically.
Yeah, not interested.
It's not fairy time?
No. If it was something like... what's the one with Angela Lansbury?
Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah. I had a whole...
The Andy Griffith murders or whatever? Anything on CBS that... appeals to the older crowd.
Those are the kind of shows I go for. I've watched all the BBC murder mysteries and the ABC or the PBS murder mysteries.
Do you like Law and Order?
I don't like Law and Order.
Do you like Scandal?
No.
Criminal Minds?
No.
How to Get Away with Murder?
No.
All right, you're not gay. Because those shows are totally geared towards women. And there's some fucked up shit on those shows, too. Like, my wife watches it religiously, and I'm like, how can you watch this? Just this... terrible, like, child exploitation and murder and,
well, and a lot
kiddie
of them are...
porn, and it's like, what happens? And then 50 Shades of Grey comes out, and it's just the freaky shit again, and I'm like, women are disgusting. That's the thing. They like watching, like, weird, fucked up shit that normal people shouldn't be watching.
So, speaking of 50 Shades of Grey, that is doing amazingly well at the box office.
Yeah,
and admittedly doesn't have all that much production quality. There's a couple of things circulating the internet right now. One is famous porn stars coming out saying, just watch porn. It's a lot
agreed.
Better. But the other one is a clip that I'd like to play. Google up Gilbert Gottfried reads 50 Shades of Grey. Because that is a clip that is absolutely worth sharing with the rest of the world. And he does it in a way that I think it draws real attention to really what the content is, because... when you hear it in a voice as obnoxious as his, you get a real idea for what the language actually is and how it reads and how absurd the whole thing is.
Yeah, and that's one of the reviews I read about it, was that it's porn dialogue with no porn. And for anybody who's ever seen porn, you know the dialogue is laughable. I mean, Mitch has been playing some of it tonight, so what you do occasionally hear is terrible. But if you don't have the visual to go with it, it just becomes hilarious at that point. So, anyway, here we go.
Audible.com presents 50 Shades of Grey, the erotic best-selling novel read by Gilbert Gottfried.
My inner goddess has stopped dancing and is staring too, open-mouthed and drooling slightly.
Hear it the way it was meant to be heard.
Keep still, he orders, and slowly he inserts his thumb inside me, rotating it around and around, stroking the front wall of my vagina. No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to? I agree to the fisting, but I'd really like to claim your ass.
Famed voice actor Gilbert Gottfried gives a reading that can only be described as sensual.
Holy fuck, is this wrong? But holy hell, is it erotic?
Let Christian Grey seduce you over and over again. Through the voice of Gilbert Gottfried.
But when he hits my clitoris, I cry out loudly. Oh, please, I groan. Quiet, he orders. Not taking his eyes off mine, he scrunches my panties in his hand, holds them up to his nose, and inhales deeply. His hands reach around and touch my breasts, and my nipples pucker at his touch.
Holy shit, this is hot.
Wow, it's not. And the thing that pisses me off about 50 Shades of Grey is it started off as fucking Twilight fan fiction. Somebody read this shit about, I'm sure, Edward and Jacob getting it on, because that's what fan fiction is. And said, we can clean this up and make tons of money. And they did.
And here's your next cease and desist letter when somebody does the Twilight-inspired porn parody.
Right. Yep. All right. How are we doing on time, buddy? All right, let's wrap this up.
Is it time to wrap this bitch up?
It's time to wrap this bitch up. Put this faggoty baby to bed.
Campers, you could find us at facebook.com/Imperial Jamboree. You could find us on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter at Imperial_Jam. And you can find us at imperialjamboree.podomatic.com.
And now, great, back to the greatest man that ever lived, Jack Lambert.
How hard was that, Mitch?
And it's the greatest man alive, Mitch. You did fuck it up anyway.
Yeah, that's the greatest man that ever lived. You got it right. So how hard is that, Mitch? Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
This is a guest. A guest got it right.
I didn't even ask him to do it. He just did it.
I know. Next week.
I came prepared.
Next week, perfection. So what we got going on? I know MegaCon's coming up. Are we doing anything exciting? We worked a Star Wars event that I'm not allowed to talk about, so that happened.
No, but I can talk about it.
You weren't there. I can give you a Cliff Notes version, and then you can talk about it.
Are we allowed to say where it was?
You can say where
it was. I can say where it was.
I can't talk about it because I'm an employee. That's what marketing told me anyway.
Legoland Florida held a Star Wars event over the course of the weekend, and they did some really interesting things that I think worked really well. Some of them a little bit better than others, but it drew a really good crowd. They had one of their master model builders come in and interact with the guests, which is really interesting. And they had him building live with bins of bricks in front of everyone. Mm-hmm. So that was very cool. They had a costume meet and greet with a Darth minifig.
Yeah, Lego Darth Vader.
And was there any other ones?
No, that was it.
That was the other one.
And Lego Darth Vader flew all the way in from both California and Malaysia to be with us, so that's important.
That's a long way to come.
It's a long way to come.
And, of course, the focus was on the Star Wars Miniland, which, if you haven't seen it, they've got some really, really amazing Lego sculptures. I don't know if that's the proper models. Term for the models. I'm sorry. But they have a Darth Vader, which is completely built out of bricks that's over 6 feet tall, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'6", so I stand next to anything, and it dwarfs me.
Except for the Lego friends. That picture is so cute.
Yeah, I've got a picture of me sitting with the Lego friends, all five girls. Oh, so fortunate of me.
Nice.
My five-year-old daughter freaked out, though. She's like, oh, Daddy, you got to meet the friends. I said, no, honey, they're built out of bricks, and I think her mind really blew. But no, I think it was a successful event. It's a nice way for different brands to dovetail with each other without a whole lot of competition and overlap. So
yeah, and the one thing I will talk about because of my fandom was that the Lego designer that they actually flew in from Billund, he designed sets that you can go buy in the store. Like, he's the guy that sends the prototypes through and everything. So he was there, and he was kind enough to autograph a set for me, which is over on prominently displayed on my table now here in the here around the campfire. So that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that. It's a set I won't open and play with. It'll just stay in its box because Niels Fredrickson signed it for me. He's a Star Wars Lego designer. So,
that's very cool. And yeah. Which set is it? Because there's another bar stool. No, I see. What is the contents?
It's just a Shadow Trooper battle pack from Star Wars Rebels. So it's a smaller set, but...
And it had to be Rebels, which is a series that...
exactly. It's Stormtroopers, though. I mean, come on. Stormtroopers are Stormtroopers.
No, but it's Stormtroopers, and it's 95 pieces, and there's some really interesting accessories on one of the Rebels minifigs. It's got a cloak and hood that looks pretty cool, because I haven't seen anything like that before.
Yeah, and I might buy one and open it and display it. Ultimately, what I'd like to do is get a shadow box that'll fit in, since it's such a small set, and the picture of he and I standing side by side while he's signing it and just hanging on the wall somewhere. But anyway,
what else are we doing?
I think it's time to piss on the campfire and put it out.
Alright.
Sounds good to me. So, you got anything you want to play as an outro?
No, I got nothing.
Okay, so to wrap up tonight, we will play everybody's favorite earworm from their performance at the Oscars. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime you want to be on. Ryan, come back soon. Mitch, stay gold, Pony Boy.
Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome. And the name champion, Chuck Frost. 3 years later, watch out.